So my name is Evan Balgord. I'm the executive director of the Canadian Anti-Hate Network.
And can you tell me about that organization?
Sure. So we operate with a mandate to monitor, expose, and counter hate-promoting movements, groups, and individuals in Canada, and specifically far-right ones. We've been around for almost 5 years now. And primarily our mission is journalistic in nature. We follow the Canadian Association of Journalists ethics codes. We report on the activities of kind of far-right movements.
And I'm talking, I reached out to you because there is this movement across Canada now, these rallies being organized from this group. There seems to be two different groups behind them. One is called 1 Million March for Children. And you go to these websites and they have this information and it's about protecting our children, but it's really hard to find who's behind these websites. Can you tell me what you know about it?
Sure. So there's two brands which kind of promoted this 1 Million March for Children. One of the brands is Hands Off Our Kids. And the other one, I don't have my notes in front of me right now, but there's two brands. And we actually did a dive into each of the brands that's promoting this on our website, antihate.ca, and looked at the organizations and the spokespeople involved to kind of quote them on things that they have said in the past to show kind of what this 1 Million March is really about. On the one hand, one of these brands is primarily led by conservative Muslims, and they are explicitly anti-gay and anti-queer of any kind. In addition to kind of talking about transgender and sexual orientation and gender identity education in schools. And the other brand, and this is why they had a bit of a falling out, the other brand is more secular in nature and claims to be accepting of having queer people participate in the march with them, for example. And so the two brands kind of had a falling out. And that led to a lot of confusion about who's organizing what in what city. And in some cities, there was two different protests in two different locations. Other cities, they ended up banding together anyways. So it led to a lot of confusion.
And what do you know about the intent of these groups to be holding these rallies?
So broadly speaking, these are anti-2SLGBTQ plus rallies. And now they'll say that they're not hateful or it isn't about that. But then you look at what they're actually saying. And a buzzword they use a lot is parental rights. We kind of need to unpack that, because when they are talking about parental rights, a lot of these people will tolerate gay people who exist out there in the world. But when it comes to queer folks in education, they don't want their kids getting any kind of education in the school that says that it is okay to be gay, that says that gay people should be, you know, loved, and that they can be role models, and that they're fully accepted in society, because they don't think that gay people should be loved and accepted and fully accepted in society. They tolerate them, but they do not want their kids to learn that it is okay to be queer. Some of that comes from religion. Some of that comes from this dangerous and kind of inciting lie that's been going around that queer people are kind of pushing some agenda because they are pedophiles. And as a result, you know, we're seeing all this activism right now about pronoun policies and things in schools, but they're not really active on that one policy. You know, they're not asking or to make changes with that one policy. Their aims ultimately are to deny their children and other people's children education, which teaches that queer people, it's okay to be loved and accepted.
Right. And how is this mimicking? Because there's this thing going on in the States, like the Don't Say Gay laws. Is this kind of mimicking that movement that's happening there?
So there's many kind of far-right groups in Canada that are advocating against queer people right now. And they are doing things that we have seen in the United States. So discussions around chosen names and pronouns, discussions around whether bathrooms will be gender inclusive. And we've even seen groups in Canada trying to ban books which are either sexual health books that include references to queer people and queer sexual health practices, or just books that represent queer people's experiences generally. They say that these books are pornographic, just like they have in the United States, and they are trying to ban them. So, they are all kind of using a similar playbook. That's not to say there's like hierarchical or direct direction or organizing together between Canada and the United States. It's more like that they're seeing what is working elsewhere in the United States and in Canada and copying the kind of advocacy that they see working to erode queer people's human rights.
And then what, I mean, these white nationalist group, you call them, is it just their ideology? Like, why is there this movement against gay people now? Is their ideology, they just don't believe in that? Or where is this hate coming from towards this group of people?
So Canada's far right movement really had its newest resurgence around 2016. And at the time, they were very interested in spreading hate towards Muslims. And I didn't realize just how impactful Christian nationalism was on that. And for your listeners, Christian nationalism is this belief that how this country runs, you know, how its government runs, and what you do in your bedroom and what happens in schools should be consistent with their particular and very fundamentalist interpretation of the Bible, which is very homophobic. So those groups, though, those kind of Christian nationalist groups and that ideology has been around a long time. Fundamentally, we're talking about the same kind of forces that opposed gay marriage, that opposed sex ed curriculums. So they've been around for a long time, and they have money and they're organized. So they've been influential in Canada's far-right movement in this latest resurgence. And recently, after the convoy, now their issue is targeting queer people, seeing all kind of the rhetoric and the narrative that is coming both from here and from the United States, saying that queer people are preying on children or trying to convert children. And that's a very, very old defamation against the queer community, because you can see the same kind of rhetoric being used in the 1950s in the Lavender Panic when they were saying that gay men are all pedophiles preying on children. So it really is kind of the same tired old attacks on the queer community, but now it's just been repackaged to more specifically target transgender and non-conforming persons and gender non-conforming persons.
So I just want to make sure I touch on this. There's a lot of other things more relevant that I want to follow on that, but you mentioned the resurgent in 2016. In 2016, the issue was kind of anti-Muslim, but now, interestingly, it's a conservative Muslim group who's behind this. So what does that mean about what we're seeing with this type of white supremacy now, if it's Muslims behind it?
Yeah, so this similar debates around, not exactly these issues, but very similar debates were happening in schools 10, 15, even 20 years ago. And at that time, you know, school boards and Canada as a whole came to the conclusion that schools were secular places and that kids have their own rights too. There's a child's right to, you know, health and human rights education. And so that they would be teaching about, you know, the existence of queer people and that they are welcome in our society. Now there are conservative Muslim groups which are raising that issue again. And in some cases, they've been doing it alongside the very Christians who are spreading anti-Muslim hate in 2016, 2017, and 2018. Now, that kind of alliance of sorts isn't clean, and there's kind of breaks there. So we saw, for example, how a Christian nationalist group, Action for Canada, said that they wouldn't support these marches, even though they very much agree with the objectives of them, but they wouldn't support them because they do not support Muslims and Islam, because they are Christian nationalists. So we are seeing tension there between the Christian nationalists and the conservative Muslims. But fundamentally, they're making kind of the same arguments that their particular interpretation of religion, they believe that kids cannot receive health and human rights education about queer people, or the message that queer people are good because of that.
And I'm wondering, I'm guessing that gender and gender identity and sexuality is a really big issue and ideology for these groups. But I'm also wondering if it's kind of a sore point that they can use to leverage and get all these people out to. Is it a political thing in any way as well?
Well, the far right genuinely believes in the conspiracy theories that they espouse, right? So they genuinely believe that queer people are pedophiles going after the children, very unfortunately, right? And of course, it's a lie, right? But very unfortunately, they genuinely believe that. So it's not all practically utilitarian, right? They genuinely hold these beliefs. But the far right movement kind of focuses on a one big issue at a time, generally speaking. And so we saw it go through different iterations in Canada. It started as this anti-Muslim movement in 2016 through 2018. Then it pivoted to this kind of pan anti-government movement, oil and gas, Western separation, things of that nature for a time. But still, because its DNA came from an anti-Muslim movement, you still find a bunch of hate speech and death threats and things like that in that movement at that time. And then it pivoted to this COVID conspiracy movement. And again, you're still going to find hate and racism and other forms of bigotry in it because of where it evolved from, where the people are from. But it brings in new people when it brings in new issues. So the movement keeps growing, and not every one of these people is necessarily a hateful person or a racist, but they get brought in for other reasons, and some of them become hateful people or racists because they're reading all this propaganda and they're in the same spaces. And then the COVID conspiracy movement turned into the Convoy, and now the Convoy has turned into the anti-2S LGBTQ plus movement that we're seeing today. So that's kind of the trajectory that Canada's gone through in terms of far-right organizing. But you can trace back quite a far way and see, you know, the same organizers, organizations have been active on each of these issues. So there are threads you can follow all the way back to 2016.
How does you said you do it like journalism, so you're just investigating these threads and go on deep dives on the internet. Like, how do you verify your information?
A lot of it's open source and can be re-verified by anybody else who wants to kind of retrace our steps, right? A lot of things that they say publicly. We do sometimes do undercover work, but not in the context of this, what we're talking about today in this Million March. Everything that they have said is public. They've made speeches, they've said quotes, they've posted videos. All of our work and the ways that we are kind of characterizing this, all of our steps can be retraced and independently verified.
And what do you know is you said that these groups genuinely believe in the conspiracy theories that they espouse, but they do keep on kind of evolving into different issues. So what is the ultimate plan?
Fundamentally, the far right movement is characterized by a few things. One of which is they are against liberal democracy. And I make a little distinction there because they very much believe in like the will of the people, we are the people, that sort of thing, which isn't necessarily anti-democratic, right? When we talk about liberal democracy, we're talking about the separation of church and state. We're talking about an independent judiciary. We're talking about like a peaceful transition of power between elections. All of those things that most people would recognize as being hallmarks of our democracy, they don't necessarily believe in those, right? They talk about taking political power and using that power, and this is an example around the COVID conspiracy movement, to put politicians or health officers on trial for treason and perhaps execute them because they believe that, you know, the vaccine is evil and things like that, right? So at its core, it's kind of this anti-liberal democratic movement, and it harbors racism and other forms of hatred. And that's kind of a key point. They might deny it exists within their ranks, but they don't address it. They might embrace it, or they might say it's all an invention kind of the quote unquote liberal media or whatever. So they tolerate forms of hatred. They're against like a liberal democracy. That's fundamentally what the hallmarks of this is. So at the end of the day, what is their intention? It is to continue to grow and strengthen power so that they can push the different things that they are interested in, right? So they're not just interested in fighting against queer issues. They're also interested in, putting their enemies on trial for treason for what happened during the pandemic and things like that. So if there is an ultimate goal, it is political power to use against their enemies.
And then I'm wondering, because we saw in Alberta, we thought during the election there that it was a tight race between Rachel Notley and Danielle Smith, but Danielle Smith just swept the votes. And we know that Pierre Poilievre, he's rallying in ridings like the Skeena, the federal riding of Skeena in British Columbia, which has been NDP since its existence in 2004. But is there any connection between these conservatives getting votes and coming to power and the far right movement?
That's a difficult question to unpack. I would say certainly that conservative provincial governments have been dog whistling to these kind of far right people who don't want their kids taught about queer people in schools. You know, we're seeing that in some of the policies that are proposed or put forward, dealing with, you know, denying children the right to have to use a chosen name and to use the pronouns they feel fit them best. And of course, we saw in the policy convention that the conservatives had strong support in their base for policies which would undermine the human rights of transgender, gender nonconforming, and queer people generally. So there certainly is a connection there in that they are aware that this is a base of people who support them, and they are signaling some support for these people in return.
Yeah. Interesting and terrifying. I guess I'm wondering, I was talking to people in the rally yesterday who were there supporting the anti-SOGI movement, and I was asking them if they knew who was behind it. And they had a little bit of an idea, but they didn't believe that it was a far-right movement. They were like strongly didn't believe in that. And I noticed that their messaging, protect our children, is the same messaging that the other side uses too. So how do you recommend that people navigate this, who are like fervently both sides out there believing that it's about protecting their children and knowing that there is this bit of this insidious movement going on? What do you recommend to Canadians?
Two things. You know, I think we need to communicate much better, you know, what they mean when they're talking about parental rights, because I think that there are a lot of parents out there who hear that term and might think it sounds nice and think that, it, you know, it means just that they have a right to be consulted about what's going on with their kids. But when you scratch the surface of it, really, there's a few things you have to unpack there. Kids have rights too, including in some cases, the rights to privacy. I mean, that's already recognized in a lot of provinces, kind of how we deal with kids' health information. You know, they have to sign over consent forms that their parents can have their health information. And normally this isn't a problem, right? This isn't a problem, you know, 9 times out of 10. And these policies that protect kids are not really meant to drive a wedge between kids and supportive parents. These policies are meant to protect children who might not have supportive parents. So if you feel like you're a supportive parent and you feel kind of like attacked or questioned and feel uncomfortable about that, you got to recognize that these policies aren't about you, right? They're about that kid that does not have, that has a household where they might not be safe coming out as trans or queer. Or might not be safe generally. That's what these policies are there to protect. So I think we really need to be talking to parents and helping them to understand that this isn't meant to disrespect them in any way. We're trying to protect the most vulnerable kids. And to understand that, you know, these groups that are talking about parental rights, many of them at their core, they are trying to push their specific religious interpretation on schools. And it doesn't sound like that immediately, but really what they're getting at is they're trying to have it so that their kids, and many of them don't want your kids, to learn that it's okay to be gay or to be queer. So like, we need to help people understand that that's what they mean by parental rights. And we also have to understand that there are people who know very well what they mean when they're talking about parental rights, who want those things. And those people aren't necessarily going to be reasoned with. And just like, you know, we ultimately had to sideline those people in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago when we said, sorry, you know, public schools are for everybody and they're secular. We have to hold firm to that again today. You know, we have to kind of resist the influence of some of these groups who want to kind of meddle with everybody's education. So two messages, right? We need to talk to the people who are reasonable, and we need to out-organize and beat the people who aren't.
How worried should we be about these movements?
I mean, quite worried. We're seeing impacts already. You know, subjectively, you know, I'm hearing from plenty of queer and trans people how much this is affecting them, how hurt they feel by this, how unsafe they feel now. And then in a very visible way, you know, we're seeing how policies are changing, which do directly target and impact these people. And then there's the very negative elements on the fringes of their movement, too. I was out demonstrating in Vancouver yesterday, and I had a neo-Nazi Sieg Heil in front of my face, who was there to support these kind of like anti-SOGI protests. I tweeted about it. I have photos of the person who did it. I posted them. And, you know, it is not good when we have people like that out there in public, Sieg Heiling and grinning about it, right? It's not good when we have people out there making their young children hold signs that say, I belong to my parent. Children are not property. They're nobody's property, right? You are very privileged and very lucky to, you know, be a parent, and that is wonderful, but nobody owns anybody else. So we're seeing kind of elements of that, and it is very troubling. You know, I am concerned for the children that are growing up in those households. Some of them, statistically speaking, are going to be queer, right? And they are probably going to face a really, really hard time at home with that. And my heart just like really goes out to them, because that's the concern here. You know, we're seeing all these demonstrations and stuff, but the most vulnerable people here are the children, and they need to be, they need to know that they will kind of always be loved and accepted. And in cases where they aren't at home, they need to find that love, acceptance, and safety elsewhere. And in some cases, that's school.
Yeah, it seems telling if a Nazi feels more comfortable in public than a trans person does.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing too is maybe they're disparate groups, but hate kind of piggybacks on hate. So when we allow that, it mushrooms in a way.
Certainly. Every time the far right kind of picks a new issue, they pick up new people along with them that are like primarily concerned with that issue. But then a lot of those people will stick around and jump on kind of the next far right bandwagon. Once somebody's in, they don't really get out so much. And that's concerning, because the far right continues to kind of grow its numbers of supporters and whatnot. And, you know, today it's queer people, tomorrow it'll be another group of people. And they are kind of gathering more and more influence. Now, I think it's also important to note they're still a minority. Right. There's maybe 10 to 20%, and I think the number's around 15, of people in this country who, based on opinion polling, believe in kind of one or more far right conspiracy theories. And we've seen other polling that, you know, about 8 out of 10 people express some support for transgender and nonconforming persons in Canada. And we see other polling that says 36% of people say that they're very likely to come out this year to a kind of like pro to LGBTQ plus demonstration. So I think it's important to remember that we still outnumber them. They still are fewer. There's fewer haters than there are people who love here in this country still, but they are a lot more organized, and they are kind of single-mindedly devoted to this in a way that we really need to like examine our priorities and recognize that they are a growing threat and out-organize them today. Cause we still have the power to do it, but they continue to grow in strength.
It just feels like a strategic time for those groups if they have that momentum, because it does feel like society might be a little bit apathetic and disengaged after the pandemic, just based on voting numbers and stuff like that.
Yep. And a lot of people were socially isolated and alone and went online looking for answers and found conspiracy theories and misinformation about COVID. And a lot of people got into the far right movement that way. It was a troubling and distressing time, you know, for everybody. People had legitimate fears and anxieties. And unfortunately, you know, there was a far right propaganda ecosystem that had a bunch of misinformation to feed them. And then we end up in this situation. At the same time, you know, people who were respecting the health orders weren't going out and counter demonstrating them. So they got practice at going out and demonstrating almost every week in many major cities. And they took that organizing know-how that they built up, and they used it to do the convoy. And now they have that organizing knowledge built up, and they're using it to do kind of these events and protests and stuff against queer people being included in society. So I keep hammering the point, but the solution to this is kind of better information, but also recognizing that's not going to fix every problem. And we also have to out-organize them.
People need to speak up too.
Absolutely.
This is when I kind of lost my train of thought there. This is what I was going to say or ask, is that it might seem like to people who aren't really paying attention that this, the march on September 20th was a one-off thing. But what you're saying is this has been going on, and it's kind of a culmination of things, and it's happening.
Yeah. What a lot of people might not have seen, because it's not as visible, but it's happening regularly, is disruptions at school board meetings. Trustees and school officials are getting death threats for, you know, committing to protecting transgender, nonconforming, and queer people. We are seeing people try to ban books. You know, we are seeing all of these things happen. We're seeing people protest, you know, family-friendly drag events. And to be very clear, because a lot of people don't know what that means, And just to explain, you know, drag is a kind of performative art form. It is not necessarily risque or sexual. There are certainly adult-oriented drag events that happen in adult venues, mostly bars and nightclubs and things like that, that might have an element of burlesque or risque to them. But family-friendly drag events are something like somebody in a beautiful gown, you know, reading a book picked out by a librarian at a library to parents and their kids, right? It's family-friendly content. And hate groups, though, have been saying that this is, you know, pedophilia or grooming children to be, you know, sexually assaulted and things like that. And it's just this awful lie that has already cost people their lives in the United States. You know, it's caused bomb threats to be called into children's hospitals. It truly is awful. So these marches are just kind of a culmination of kind of anti-queer organizing that's been happening in Canada. That organizing, the quieter stuff I talked about, or the less visible stuff I talked about, is going to continue to happen. And it's really important for people to show up and kind of support their school environments, which are going through a lot of disruption right now.
And when you say people need to out-organize them, what does that look like?
It means, you know, find your friends who also agree that this is an issue. Go to our website, read our guide for Pride Defenders. It talks about how to safely and effectively counter-organize. It means showing up and having your own signs and whistles and yelling at them. You know, that's what protests are. It's a bunch of people yelling most of the time. And we need to do that because it shows them that they are not as powerful as they think they are. You know, it shows them that we are still kind people in Canada, are kind of still the majority. And it kind of discourages their mass organizing to the degree that it is. You know, if we are reliably counter-demonstrating, it also sends the signal to politicians, to school boards, and to decision makers on this stuff that they're going to alienate too much of the voting population by getting on board with all this anti-queer activism.